Welcome back to another edition of Big City Catholics with Bishop Robert Brennan, the Diocesan Bishop of Brooklyn, and myself, Father Christopher Henu. This week's edition is on the road with Big City Catholics.
That's right, Father Chris. We went up to the Boy Scout camp up at 10 Mile River, and so we're doing something new today. This is amazing. We're in the back seat of the car and recording our podcast from here.
Exactly. So it's and we're not, there's no city nearby, so this is country Catholics on the road.
Great idea for the summer, for a summer podcast.
Amen. So we can start with a prayer. We'll just perhaps ask our Blessed Mother to intercede for us and to protect us, certainly, as we drive. Deacon Jaime Varela is with us in the car, and we ask our Blessed Mother for her intercession. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. St. Christopher, pray for us. So, Bishop, this was your first time up in Camp Kiowa. This is a 10-mile river. It's about a 2.5-hour drive from Brooklyn.
It was the first half hour of which was a mile trip from the Cook Cathedral to the Brooklyn Bridge.
To the Brooklyn Bridge. So. It's when we know we're not in, we're in the city. And so we've smooth sailing once we got out of Brooklyn.
That's right.
Camp Kiowa. Bishop DiMarzio and...
there's a long tradition from what I understand. And Bishop Daly before him would make this an annual visit. A number of our troops from Queens and Brooklyn would be making the camps at different weeks during the summer, throughout the summer. So the bishops traditionally made one visit each year. I had a little bit of a tour and an initiation to get a sense of several of the camps up there.
That's right.
But also the chance to offer Holy Mass in the chapel at Camp Kiowa.
That's right. Yeah, 10-mile river is... 22,000 acres large, so it's a large campus.
And it has a rich history. It was really, the land was pulled together by Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he was working with scouting as a volunteer as president before he became president of the U.S. And so a lot of that property and that opportunity is thanks to his good work. And then we saw the museum, so we saw a bit of scouting through the years.
Yes, yeah, that was at the headquarters camp. And so we had a whirlwind of an afternoon. So first we arrived at Camp Kiowa. Now, Bishop, you yourself, you were a young scout, as a Cub Scout, is that right?
I was in the younger age. I'll be totally frank here. The idea of camping didn't appeal to me all that much when I was a kid. So even in Weblos, I never went on the camping trips. I knew that when you got scouting,
it's
that was
all
a key part of it, because in order to do the merit badges and all of that. So I confess I never went on to scouting. I give a lot of credit to those who have, and I see the great formation that it provides. But as we were going through and I saw the tents, I can't say that I doubted my choice.
The tents and the mosquitoes.
And the mosquitoes.
There were plenty of mosquitoes today up there.
No, that's so. Not my speed. But again, my hat's off to the people who do it. And I mean that very sincerely.
Yeah, I believe it.
On the other hand, you did this for many years, and you spent several summers at the different camps.
So the surprise of many who know me now, they can't believe that I used to camp out as a... As a Boy Scout, I myself was a member of Troop 28, which was a troop located in Richmond Hill, Queens, which was kind of interesting that my first assignment as a priest was back in Richmond Hill. I didn't grow up in Richmond Hill, but my close friends were members of this scout troop. So as a child, as a teenager, I came up to 10 Mile River every summer, well, for a few summers as I was in the scouts program, to both Kiowa, where you celebrated Mass today, and to Camp Aquahanga, which is the neighboring campsite. It was, for me, it was nice to come up, because I haven't been back to this campsite in years. So to be with you today and to visit that Kiowa, where I remember eating in that same mess hall, and I remember swimming in the lake and taking my swimming merit badges in that lake, and then visiting Camp Aquahanga, where the pool it's just a very, for me, a very enjoyable experience. So I'm glad I got to tag along with you.
Now, you were telling me on the way up that in the two camps, there were trade-offs.
There certainly were, yeah. There's pros and cons to each one. So Camp Kiowa, when we would go up there, we enjoyed it because there was a mess hall where there was a staff that did all the cooking for you, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But there was a lake, and, you know, to each his own. I myself wasn't a fan of the lake, the seaweed, the fish, the kind of gross sand at the bottom of it. But then Camp Aquahunga had a pool, and you saw the pool. You saw the slide that they had, and it's a huge, beautiful pool, and that was a lot of fun. But the difference was that Camp Aquahunga, you had to prepare your own food. So you had to send somebody down to the mess hall once a day, three times a day, and bring up the food to the campsite, and someone had to cook it. And it was a lot more messier, and you had to do dishes. And
what I learned when I was up there is that also becomes a greater burden on the leaders.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I think about it, too. We're going to talk a little bit about what an incredible teaching moment this is for the young boys and who are involved in the program and leaders. But I give credit, and I often say a prayer of thanksgiving to my scoutmaster, my troop master, you know, because these were grown men and sometimes women who donated of their time to come up. I mean, it was a passion for them, but they really put a lot of work into this program, too.
With great dedication, and, you know, it's the work on the scene, but we also know there's an awful lot of work behind the scenes
for
as
sure.
Well. So there were all kinds of meetings and planning and training, safety. So, yeah, thank God for the good people who give generously of themselves. You know, one of the key things is that scouting in itself is a great program of formation for young people. And you know it better than I remember some of these things, but the virtues that are instilled are great human virtues, but they're also very tied to our Christian virtues.
For sure. So I'll never forget it. I was, you know, telling you in the car ride up, a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. You know, those tenets are beautiful. And you know, when you and I visited the Museum of the Scouts there, we saw this beautiful stained glass window, and it said, a scout is reverent.
Yes.
So the kids came
and
to
And we heard that a lot today, the scout is reverent. This was an important part of their formation. And so us being there was important because it connects to being reverent, to Catholics and non-Catholics alike, to everyone. Being reverence is something that would be instilled.
You see the creation, the beauty of God's creation. You know, certainly much more beauty there in Ten Mile River than we see in our own world, in our own diocese.
So, reverent, that would have been a word they used up there today. So they included, with my visit, the visit of a bishop and mass, they encouraged the fellows, reminded them of that particular virtue of being reverent. That's how it connects in with their faith, whatever their faith may be. So the Catholic, well, everybody is invited, but the Catholic scouts were given the opportunity, as they are every week, to attend Mass during this week of camping.
When we visited the museum at the camp headquarters, there's a beautiful stained glass window. Apparently it was a gift of Bishop Lachlan to a chapel up in Ten Mile River, and it depicted a scout making the scout sign. And it said a scout is reverent. And that was the first time I've ever seen something like that. I've never seen a scout depicted in stained glass window.
Exactly. Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. And traditionally, in every Catholic camp, there would be three chapels, sort of a Protestant chapel, a Catholic chapel, a Jewish chapel, always respecting an individual's own faith, but encouraging them, whatever their faith is, to go deeper into that level of faith. And so, again, it's good human formation, and the faith experience is part of good human formation. So, as part of Scout Being Reverent today, they celebrated Holy Mass. What a privilege that was for me to be able to offer Mass. You were there, of course, Father Chris, and Father Mark, one of the priests of the Oratory, who's also a chaplain at St. Edmund's High School. He's been some, Catholic chaplain up there for the summer. He was with us. Father Vassalotti often goes up there for Mass, but today was the three of us And what a beautiful celebration.
It's very nice. Now, that chapel, Bishop, was recently renovated and rededicated only a few years ago, 2015 or 16. It's a beautiful chapel right on the lake of Camp Kiowa. They had a better view, you know, as they're looking at the altar. They were also looking at the lake, you know, and it's quite...
And it was a beautiful, clear day.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, it was quite the place to be. It was a hot day, so some of them were in the sun. I give them a lot of credit.
That's for sure.
But
what a message, too. So the message, the readings, were the readings of the day.
How powerful between Jeremiah and his youth, but also the sower and the seed. And you get the beginning of the gospel. Jesus sees the crowds, and he goes off in the boat. And so it's all set right there.
Right there.
We couldn't pick this. It's all set right there on the shore of the lake. And so you can place yourself there as you're hearing this gospel.
Yeah.
And you hear Jesus talking to people about the kingdom of God and inviting them into that, into the experience of God's kingdom.
You said if you're going to get in the boat with Jesus,
get ready for surprises.
Get ready for surprises. And I, you know, this is just a note to the viewers. There was a point after Mass when we were taking photos with yourself and the scouts, and we took a beautiful photo with the leaders, the camp leaders, these young men who are volunteering their time and their whole summer. They're up at that camp, you know, for the entirety of the summer. You took like a sort of like a group huddle. It was almost like a coach's message of encouragement to them. What was your message to them?
Well, the message to everyone was about be ready for surprises, that and that God, you know, it was the parable of the sower and the seed. And so the message to everybody was that, in spite of all the obstacles, we tend to focus in on the obstacles. But the reality is, in spite of all those obstacles, some seed did fall on good ground, take root, make a difference. And so it was an encouragement to everybody, let God's word, let God take root in your life. But I spoke to the staff people after and had the chance to say to them, God works through you. You know, sometimes we have the privilege of seeing the fruits of our labors, seeing the difference it makes in somebody's life. And sometimes we don't. And they need to trust that God is going to do work through them and that they may or may not see it, but hopefully the experience that these young people will have on this camp will have a positive impact on their life, maybe soon after they get home, maybe years from now. But I wanted them to be sure that they could trust what they're doing is making the great impact.
I guess speaking from my sake, personally experiencing the summer camp up there as a teenager and realizing, to your point, being surprised at the things that you never thought you could do, but that when you push yourself to it and you challenge yourself and with the help and assistance of others along the way, that you'd be surprised that you can do. And so I remember even in some of the tasks that you have to do for a merit badge, for instance, a kayaking merit badge, you have to kayak out to the middle of that lake and flip the kayak with yourself in it and get out of the kayak, exit the kayak under the water, flip the kayak back over while you're treading water and get back in the kayak. I thought, this is impossible. This would be impossible to do it. That was one of the, for me, as I was looking out at that lake, I'll never forget the excitement and the joy that I had when I completed that task. So those little stories, they do exist in currently, and they still are happening. You know that there are members, there are Boy Scouts that are at that camp right now, and they are surprising themselves with what they can do, you know, that they never thought they could do.
And that encourages all of us to go that extra mile, to say, and to let God work in our lives and help us to develop the talents that he gives to us, the abilities, the opportunities, also to allow ourselves to be surprised, to let God call us and form us. And, you know, that takes root in different kinds of vocations, whether it's the vocation to marriage and to family life, the vocation to single life, and certainly the vocation to religious life. So how many of our priests, it's a good number, have had the experience of scouting in their youth? And that was a key part of their human formation that led them to be able to hear God's call and then to respond with fidelity and enthusiasm.
Yeah, there's a joke amongst priests from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia They say that Jesus was from Philadelphia. Why do they say that? Well, because he went up to the mountains, and a lot of Philadelphian priests go to the up to the mountains to ski. He went to the shore, and the Philadelphians go to the shore. You know, when you think about it, we went up to the mountains today. You know, we left the big city, we left the noise in the city, and we went to that, to the silence and the solitude. What's the message there? There's something there, because, you know, our podcast is called Big City Catholics, and we're trying to recognize that you hear the voice of Christ even in the midst of the horns and the honking and the traffic and the sirens. But what's the message that I think that...
Well, there are two messages. So let's talk about the shift from the horns and the traffic to the quiet of the city and the country and the mountains. It is true. Sometimes we need to withdraw like Jesus would. Jesus would withdraw with his apostles. Very often the crowds would follow him, but he would withdraw with the apostles so that they could listen. And, you know, whether it is that we can withdraw from the city, or maybe that's not so possible. Maybe we need to withdraw to the inner sanctum of our room and listen quietly to God. For us as Catholics, that moment of quiet can be found inside a church, especially a moment of adoration. Maybe we can't get out to the mountains, but we can always find Christ. And many of our churches, we have adoration at different points, at different times, and to take advantage of some of those moments, to withdraw with the Lord. You know, big city Catholics stepping into the choir, withdrawing into the choir, to be with Jesus. So that's one message. But the other message goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about allowing God to take us beyond our limits. Jesus called on apostles and said, I believe in you, and allowed them to do things that they never thought they could do. And when they were sent out into missionary territory, right, after Jesus rose from the dead, they found themselves, they didn't sit there and draw up a plan and say, okay, you're going to Corinth, you're going to Antioch. They found themselves pushed. It was persecution that pushed them out beyond the city limits. And the Holy Spirit kept pushing them to go beyond the limits they themselves would set. But the Holy Spirit pushed them to be faithful to where Jesus was leading. And so sometimes the Lord sends us the Holy Spirit to push us beyond the limits that we want to impose upon ourselves. And so that's the other one. So to withdraw with Jesus, but also to allow the Spirit then to push us beyond our limits.
Bishop, do you... In the Diocese of Brooklyn, we have, you know, even today, you asked in the mess hall, it's great to hear you to ask the kids, how many of you guys are here from Brooklyn or Queens? And there was a nice crowd from our diocese. And, you know, we have great leadership in the diocese, in the Catholic Committee for Scouting. They run a dinner every year and an award ceremony. There's opportunities for the young scouts to take a badge or an award called the Ad Altare Dei Award, which is the Catholic award in the Scouts.
There are a number of those. So the younger children have the Pavuli Dei, there's the Ad Altare Dei, and then the Girl Scouts have the Spirit Alive. And I remember when I was in Smithtown at the time, this goes back a few years, it was the first year they were offering the Spirit Alive. And so we were one of the first groups, at least in this area, to do that. And you know, in all of those, both with the boys and with the girls, these merit badges, these religious awards, require a great deal of study and hard work. It really is diving deeper into a study of the sacraments.
Yes.
It really is understanding the role of the church and the gospel in your life. We really want to encourage that. And if your child is in scouting, if you're in one that's connected by one of our parishes and you have the chance for religious award, by all means, I encourage you to take part in it. But if, on the other hand, that's not something afforded to you, I'm sure our Catholic Committee on Scouting can help this. Somebody, maybe a parish priest can help you connect, but somebody can help your child to find those religious awards, because it really is taking a step in the faith.
It is, yeah. And I was with Zoom and being able to do these things, you can.
That's right. Now, you know, again, the silver lining out of the COVID experience, they're doing more through Zoom. And they've gotten some new opportunities for people to take advantage of these religious awards.
For sure. There's a story of a young man who has an interreligious parents. He took this Ad Altare Dei award, project, the classes for it, the preparation for it, and himself has decided to further his understanding of the Catholic faith and
enter into the RCIA program.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
So it's a great outreach and evangelizational tool. So it's a pleasure. It was a great time to be out there to see the young boys and their excitement and their enthusiasm to be there. Do you plan to go back up now next year?
Oh, of course. I think it's built into the calendar now. They did tell me it was a hot day, so they planned the visit accordingly, but apparently there's a cliff that I have to visit, and that today would have been a tough day to do that, but a cliff with quite a view, and well, that'll get me there next year. That's next year's project.
That's great. So Bishop, now we're on our way back. We're in the car driving back.
You know we're getting closer to New York City because the traffic is building.
That's right. You don't hear the smooth sound of the road in the background anymore.
But it's good to withdraw and it's good to return, right? Good to return, and good to return to the richness of pastoral life in Brooklyn and Queens.
So tell us, I mean, it's been a pretty busy, it's usually summers are supposed to quiet down, but it sounds like you continue, obviously, on your visits, your parish visits. You've had some pretty interesting ones.
It's been great. So, yeah, it's nice going simply for Sunday Mass and enjoying not necessarily events. I always enjoy those events, anniversaries and celebrating the sacraments, but it's always good also just to be part of Sunday life. So last week I was at a Lady of the Blessed Sacrament in Bayside, Queens, and just got a taste of parish life there and enjoyed being with the parish team there and meeting so many wonderful people. And then on Sunday, I finally made it to Regina Pacis, the Shrine Church of Regina Pacis, Our Lady of Queen of Peace. And that's a church that has a rich historical tradition. It's actually only 70 years old, but it's a beautiful, beautiful shrine church. It's beautifully adorned, has a rich Italian history,
yes.
But now is largely Hispanic and Chinese. So I celebrated the Mass in English and Spanish, but then I attended in choir at the Chinese Mass. I visited our Chinese community before. This was the first time I actually visited with that Chinese Mass, and that was thoroughly enjoyable.
Isn't it it's impressive. Did they receive a large community? Is there a large...
Yes, a significant enough community there. Yes, there is. And the community meets the priest, Father Joseph, who works with them. He's a Vincentian priest, and they're in their chapter. So we pray for the Vincentians, their gathering for chapter this week. But one of the Redemptorist priests, recently ordained, he's only a year ordained.
Oh, wow.
Chinese-American priest. So he came to offer Mass. One of the men I had the privilege of ordaining this year is an American-born Chinese priest. And so they bring great gifts to the community and to the larger church. But there were a number of families. There was a children's choir. And it was great meeting so many people. And that's a new culture to me. That's a culture I have very limited knowledge.
Sure,
and
sure.
So I enjoyed being with them. In between the Masses, Father Tarcisio arranged for the leaders of the different groups and the different communities to come together, and so I could share with them. So that was fun. That was a good and exciting experience. This week, too, I had it was a blessing, but it was a sad blessing. I was at St. Andrew's Church. I had been there before, but we prayed for Father Greg Stankus. He went home to God last week. So I was in St. Andrew's for his funeral. And what a touching experience it is to be there at a priest's funeral and to talk with people and realize the impact that the parish priest plays in their lives. And that was particularly true with Father Stankus, whether it be the people there in St. Andrew's, people who remembered him from St. Dominic's, people who remembered him from St. Simon and Jude. There was just tremendous, tremendous love. And one after another, they would talk about two things. One was jumping in and getting fully involved in what was going on in their lives. He was fully involved, fully concerned. I said somewhat direct, and everybody laughed because
he didn't hold back on, for sure, on things, which was great. But they also, I don't know if this was a message to us, Father, but they also loved that he had short homilies that made a point that was very relevant to their lives. And I heard that one person after another. But again, it was all great, great love.
Yeah.
So we pray for Father Greg Stankus, and it gives me a chance to remember and to pray for all of our priests and who are serving in our parishes, and to give thanks to the people of God who support us and encourage us and challenge us.
That's for sure. The message, your final words there are just a message of A, how diverse and how our diocese is, but yet we meet the needs. The diocese truly strives to meet the needs of all the faithful, and we have to pray for our priests that they remain good and holy and faithful servants, that they serve willingly the people of the diocese.
Exactly. And so on that note, let's pray ourselves for the people of our diocese, for in all of our parishes. These days of summer give us a chance to withdraw, whether it be to go somewhere or withdraw just to give some time to the Lord. I hope these days of summer can be a little bit rejuvenating for all of us, but that they also give us an opportunity to draw a little bit closer to the Lord and to realize how, you mentioned the beauty of creation before, to realize how God gives us so much and renews us in everything. So we'll just ask the Lord's blessing on all who are joining us on this podcast. Thank you for joining in on this. Thanks, by the way, for listening into these conversations and giving me this chance just to share some of these great experiences in Brooklyn, Queens, and also the reflections on how they impact my life and our life as a church. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you and your families, keep you always in his care, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. This has been an edition of On the Road of Big City Catholics. We hope that you tune in again next week to join us as we continue our discussions. God bless.